is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Ryan Berry, boys head basketball coach at Fairview High School in Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Take two.
If you're with us for our live version, you got 3 minutes and 53 seconds of Jason and I trying to figure out why we were each slurring. So nonetheless, take two. Welcome to the Hoop Heads Pod. We're here to talk some NBA tonight. And we're going to start with the FIBA World Cup. U.S. currently sitting at 2-0 after wins over New Zealand and Greece. Another game coming up in about, I guess, 4.5 hours against Jordan.
Are you staying up, Mike?
No, I'm not staying up. I will hopefully be in bed. I guess I could say I could be getting up. I could maybe catch the end of the game when I'm working out tomorrow morning.
Depends if you fall asleep in your chair tonight, Mike. It depends if you fall asleep in your chair.
No, I'm not going to fall asleep in the chair, man. I'm good. I got a good schedule going this year. I'm not going to talk about it, though.
Mike, I was going to say.
I'm not going to talk about it.
It's like Bruno. You don't talk about Bruno, Mike.
I'm knocking on wood, buddy. I'm knocking on wood, man. So anyway, U.S. 2-0, star of the show, Austin Reeves, baby.
Taylor Swift. You saw that, right?
No, I didn't see that.
He was like doing a presser and like fans just started shouting Taylor Swift because there was a rumor that him and Taylor Swift were dating or something.
Oh, really? Just a rumor? Yeah. Not true?
I don't think it's true, but I mean, okay. I don't know how it could be true. She's here and he's there and she's been touring all this time. So anyways,
okay. But well, hey, you know, listen, what are you going
to
do?
More power to him if it's true. I don't know. But yeah, there was some fans just shouting Taylor. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Okay. Well, there you go. Hey, Reeves has been good, man. I mean, he's looked like a real dude. And
well, okay, so here's a question.
Not that he didn't. What?
Like, I mean, Lakers, we're just going to go here. Okay, like Austin Reeves, LeBron, Anthony Davis. Who am I forgetting? Who else is on the team now? Can they be a real team? If he plays like this?
If everybody's healthy, they can be.
Okay.
I mean, if he's as good as what he's been in this tournament and what he showed towards the second half of last season and then on into the playoffs. I mean, it certainly seems like at this point, it's pretty long. This has gone on pretty long. If he's just going to be a guy who's a flash in the pan, it seems like he's going to be a real guy. And if that's the case, I mean, the Lakers still come down to two things, right? It still comes down to what version of LeBron are you getting and can he continue to at least to some degree, ward off Father Time, and then what Anthony Davis are you getting, and are you getting Anthony Davis at all? Can he stay healthy? I mean, if those three guys, if LeBron is whatever, 95% of last year's LeBron and AD is healthy and Reeves continues to get better, then yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers, look, are they a championship contender? I would kind of think not, because if they're going to be their best, Anthony Davis probably has to be their best player. And I think if Anthony Davis is your best player, I don't think you're good enough to win a title. But are they good enough to be considered a serious contender or a serious threat to upset somebody or beat somebody in the West that you might not expect them to be able to beat? I guess the answer would be yes. But that's, again, with the caveat that both LeBron and AD have to sort of fulfill whatever you consider their potential to be for next season. If they don't, one or the other guy is hurt or playing subpar, then the ascension of Austin Reeves doesn't really matter, in my opinion.
Yeah. I just thought I'd ask. Mike, I want to just say this. I like the aesthetic of a smiley face on your chalkboard behind you. Did you know that?
Nice. I don't even know what I have on there.
There's a smiley face on the left-hand side. Oh,
there you go. Happy birthday, Dad. That's honestly from like probably – that was probably written like 4 years ago. So anybody wants to fact check me, you can go back and look at the previous live streams. And I know it's at least been up since we've been live streaming these NBA episodes.
I didn't notice it until now. I thought it was a new edition. I thought you were like Woody Page.
No, I think
you
were it's there.
Huh? Adding random things on the chalkboard.
I'm pretty sure it's there, but maybe we'll have to start doing that.
Yeah, I think – like I don't want to steal
what
a bit.
What show was it that did that?
Austin, it's Around the Horn with Woody Page does it.
Yeah, Around the Horn. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, they always had.
I don't want to steal a bit, but I think that would. I legit thought it was a new smiley face, Mike. I just want you to know that. So
hey, maybe it is. Maybe somebody came up here and did something that I wasn't really aware of. But
yeah. Anyway, so okay, so I know we went on a little bit of a diatribe there about the Lakers, but listen, I'm glad for Austin Reeves, man. He looks like a dude. Like I said, I've caught very little of this FIBA. It's just. I don't know that I care. And that's a sad state of affairs, but I don't know how much I care. You know, maybe when they get to like, if the gold game or, you know, when they get to the quarterfinals, I'll watch it. But like, I just haven't had any interest. I've been, you know, gearing up for football and that's really what I've been really focusing on is football and some baseball, but not much. But I haven't gotten too excited about FIBA basketball because it just doesn't resonate. Like I even watched Women's World Cup, Mike, and I have not watched any.
You know, FIBA. This is a basketball podcast, right?
I know, right? I'm just saying, like, I just can't get myself excited about this FIBA all nonsense. Right.
I understand. Listen,
none of the mainline stars are playing. Like Luka is really the only one that's playing, right? Like, is there another top 15 player
in the
NBA.
I don't think there's another top 10 player in the league playing.
I mean, Anthony Edwards is probably the second best player playing, right? SGA. Who, by the way, I saw, let's see if I can pull this up. Hold on. I saw something about SGA. SGA is in three World Cup games. He's averaging 22 points, 8 rebounds, 5.7 assists. And he's outscored France and Latvia by himself in third quarters. He leads Canada in points, rebounds, and assists. He's one of two players with 25-5 games, the other one being, of course, Luka. So pretty good stat line there for SGA.
Well, in the one game, I think he only played like 17 minutes because they scored 128 against, I forget who they played, but they dominated somebody. So, yeah, he's clearly – I still don't think of – SGA as being like, okay, this guy's a surefire top 10 player in the league, but that's getting harder and harder to deny based on his production last year and then what you have going into this World Cup and how successful Canada's been to this point. I think when I hear you talking about not necessarily having a huge interest in it, I get that. I think what's going to happen is that as we get into the quarterfinals and the next round of the tournament, as they start playing some better teams, I think it'll get to be at least mildly interesting. I mean, some of the challenge, right, is just the times playing at 8:30 in the morning. Not that that's awful. This next game, 4:40 in the morning, is going to be a little bit tough. Although, like I was saying, I might be able to catch the end of that game when I get up and work out before I go to school. But nonetheless, it's – when it's not in prime time when you're sitting down and you can actually watch the game, when you're just trying to catch it around whatever it is that you might be doing, it's a little bit hard. But and to your point, I do think that without the lack of stars, both for the U.S. team and then on a international level, those guys not playing, so you don't have Jokic and Jamal Murray and Giannis obviously is hurt and Porzingis isn't playing. And I guess you had France had Rudy Gobert and the Dominican Republic has Kat. But with the Dominican Republic, by the way, 3-0. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's who the U.S. is slated to play in the next round, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I trust you more than I trust myself to know that, because I have no clue. I see
France beat Lebanon today to avoid taking the collar, but they are out. France is out. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They lost their first two games.
How's that happen? What's that going on
there? They got beat by the Latvians. Canada killed them, and then the Latvians beat France as well. Philippines 0-3, your boy Jordan Clarkson couldn't pass his way to a win for the Philippines.
Can I explain this to me? Explain this to me. Like, how are all these guys playing? Like, Jordan Clarkson wasn't born in the Philippines. Like, how? I don't understand.
I mean, obviously, he has somebody somewhere in his family. I was reading somewhere today. I forget. I think it was Angola's coach, because they lost to the Dominican Republic. And he said, made some comments about the fact that, I forget what the exact term was. Let me see if I can find it.
Naturalization, like, was that naturalization or something?
Whatever. The naturalization of these guys to, you know, like, again, Karl Anthony Towns, like, I don't know exactly, again, what his relationship is with the Dominican Republic, but clearly he's not spending too much time in the Dominican Republic. Just like Eric Gordon at one point back a while ago, 10 years ago, whatever, played for Team USA, and then they ended up getting him on the Bahamas. Now, the Bahamas isn't in this tournament, but they were playing in some other tournament where him and Buddy Hield and DeAndre Ayton were all playing. And it seems like, okay, you already played for one country. How can you then go and play in another? And actually, I was listening to the Windhorse podcast, and they were talking about how that basically FIBA kind of can – there's no set rule as to what they can and can't do as far as, quote, naturalization. But basically what it sounds like is that if you're somebody who wants to go play for any country other than the United States, that you're pretty much will be naturalized.
So it allows one player from – FIBA allows one naturalized player per country. So that's what this article says. I pulled up the article. This is what the Angola coach said, Mike. He said, "We can sign an import like most of the national teams, and maybe we're going to score more threes, but I don't believe this is correct, and I really think that FIBA must stop this as soon as possible. Otherwise, in some years, there will be no local product. Each country needs to develop their own players. That is what I think. There are players that don't even speak the language of the country they represent. There are countries which have 7-8 players that were born outside the country. Dominican Republic has no naturalized player, but has 6 who were born outside the country, including Karl Anthony Towns."
Do you disagree with him?
I mean, I don't, right?
Yeah, like, I don't either.
I mean, that would be like, I don't know, Luka being naturalized and playing for the Team USA. Like, right? Like,
right. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you get it where all these countries are trying to improve their ability to compete on a world stage. But to me, it seems like it would sort of dilute my national pride when I've got half my roster that has barely set foot in the country that they're representing. That just, I think I would tend to be on the side.
Omari Spellman is one of those naturalized players, Mike.
He is. Who's he playing for?
Hold on, I'm going to see if I can figure it out. He's playing for Lebanon.
Okay. He was right here in North Royalton for a while. So North Royalton,
Ohio, to rep.
Villanova to Lebanon. I'm not sure how that all works, but interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, I saw his name and I was like, wait a second, that guy right there is a
And obviously, the big noticeable one, and we were talking before we froze, was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, a.k.a. Baby Kobe. did you see that picture? He looks like him.
He does. Well, that's what – on the Winhurst podcast, they were talking about basically that, like, he shoots like him. He's doing all – he basically has just sort of remade himself in the image of Kobe. He's even wearing, like, the arm sleeve or whatever that Kobe used to wear. And, hey – do what you got to do to get some attention, I guess. But I'm not. I'm pretty sure that he's not going to have a Kobe-esque game here in about 5 hours against the U.S. I'm pretty sure that things aren't going to turn out super well for Rondae. I would have to guess.
Yep. Is he going to be back in the NBA? You think? After this?
No, I don't think he's at that level. From what I understand, I don't think he's at that level anymore. So. Seems unlikely that that's gonna happen.
Well, I don't know how much he's been playing. Has he been playing really well?
That's a good question. Let me see if I can pull up his.
He had 38 points yesterday, Mike. He had 38 points yesterday.
All right. Well, sorry. Maybe I'm not getting all the. I'm not getting all my information.
I'm just. I'm on his. Because he doesn't have a Twitter account, but he has like team. Because we were at one point almost had him on the podcast, right? Like he had reached out and.
Well, he has like a, I don't know, his Twitter account puts out a lot of stuff for youth basketball. I don't know exactly how much he, like, they have a Twitter account called Team Rondae Hollis Jefferson.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that is actually Rondae Hollis Jefferson and how much of it is actually somebody else running that for him, but. Yeah, we did at some point make contact with somebody there, and then it didn't. Well, he had 24 in the first game, so he's
– Mike, I'm telling you, someone's going to sign him. Someone's going to fly by flyer.
He's averaging 31 a game, baby.
If he has a great game coming up against the U.S., I mean, let's be honest. The U.S. has been giving up a lot of points even though they're winning these games. They're giving up a lot of points, so it's not like their defense is stifling. So he could have a good game here, and this is probably the one that has the most eyes on it for him to have a chance. So if he goes out there and plays well, like a team taking a flyer on him, would you be mad if the Cavs tried taking a flyer on him for a cheap amount of money? Like if he was the eighth man?
He's a back end of the roster guy. He's been out of the league for a couple of years, so it seems highly unlikely that he'd go from a guy who's been out of the league for a couple of years to somebody that would actually be a real contributor. Now, maybe again, you sign him at the back of your roster, but I don't see him being a guy that's going to completely come in and suddenly be part of your rotation. I mean, that doesn't happen very often for a guy, but who knows?
I just wanted to ask a question there.
All right. Yeah. I don't see him being back in the league, but I could be wrong, but once a guy's gone for that long, I'm not sure I'm buying it.
Yep. All right. Anything else on FIBA, Mike? Or
Paolo's look good as a backup center. Playing small ball. He's been good.
Okay. I'm sure.
I'll get more interested in this as they start to play some games that are theoretically.
Yeah, so wait. So the game they play tonight is at 4:40, obviously. I'm not going to watch that. When I wake up,
I might catch the end, like I said.
Is it on Peacock or what is it even on? Is it on ESPN? Like
ESPN Plus or ESPN 2? I can't remember which one.
Okay. Well, I'll use my dad's login and watch maybe the fourth quarter if I need to.
There you go. That's the strategy. I mean, I think, look, if the U.S. plays. If they play Slovenia, right, and they're playing against Luka, you're going to probably, at least theoretically, be interested in that one. I think the U.S.-Canada game, if that game comes to pass, I think they could only meet in the gold medal game. But if that ends up being the gold medal game, that would be an interesting game that I'd certainly would tune in for. So there's some interesting things that are coming up. And this team, like you said earlier, lacks – the biggest name stars, but I do think they have some interesting young guys and up and coming players that when I look at Edwards or I look at Halliburton or I look at Austin Reeves, they're guys that they're fun to watch. They're interesting. And this team is good enough that they can win the gold medal, but I don't think they're good enough that they're just going to walk over everybody where it's a foregone conclusion. And in a way, that makes it interesting, or at least more interesting than if you just are killing everybody by 40 points with the best 12 guys in the world. So we'll see what happens moving forward.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, Hoopeds Nation, whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams, or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? Practice space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, three-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder Vlad Moldovanu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, Hoopheads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial.
All right. So FIBA, U.S. plus played Greece without Giannis, and soon the Bucks might be playing without Giannis too. Segue. He still has 2 years under contract. He has 2 years under contract, Mike. And, you know, he's been applauded for staying with Milwaukee for as long as he stayed, which, by the way, I'm not like, how many years has Giannis been with Milwaukee?
Came into the league at 18, so he's probably pushing, I bet he's been there 8-9 years now.
Okay, so almost the same amount of time as LeBron was with Cleveland the first time around, right?
I would say close to it.
Okay. He's being lauded for staying with them, and now he's talking about leaving.
Well, like, he's not necessarily talking 100% about leaving, but
yeah.
He's opening the door. This is the first time he's really opened the door.
Read the quote.
So if I read the quote, next summer it would make more sense for both parties. He's talking about signing the extension. Even then, I don't know. I would not be the best version of myself if I don't know that everybody's on the same page. Everybody's going for a championship. Everybody's going to sacrifice time away from their family like I do. And if I don't feel that, I'm not signing. Now, you can read into that. Is he talking about management? Is he talking about players? Is he talking about ownership? What's he talking about there when he says everybody's going to sacrifice time away from their family? I don't know what exactly he means.
Is there one player he's calling out specifically there? Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no names attached to that, or nobody that he's specifically pinpointing. And
it's like the LeBron fit in or not fit out.
Don't fit out, whatever it might be.
Yeah. It's very vague.
Yeah, it's very vague, but it's definitely something that is not something that he's said in the past. There hasn't really been any of this type of talk from Giannis before. And so you look at this and you say, okay, what's he mean and why is he saying it? Because clearly it would have been very easy for him to just say, hey, I'm not going to sign the extension this fall. Doesn't really make sense from a monetary standpoint. I'm going to revisit it next summer. I plan to be in Milwaukee, whatever. But to kind of throw it out there that, hey, I'm not sure if everybody's on the same page and everybody's going for a championship, especially in light of what the Bucks did this summer, right? So you can argue the plus or minuses and what it means in terms of firing a veteran coach like Budenholzer. You and I have not been fans of Coach Bud going back, for anybody who's listened to us a lot. But he is a guy who won a championship, so you're taking a chance then on Adrian Griffin, who's coming in as a brand new head coach, which it's not often that a real championship contender goes from a veteran coach to a guy who is brand new. So I guess that point, is maybe a knock against Bucks management, but
unless you're LeBron's your coach or LeBron's right, on your team.
Look, and you and I aren't big fans of Budenholzer, so I'm not sure that I look at that move in and of itself as a negative. I guess you don't know what kind of coach Adrian Griffin's going to be, but nonetheless, I don't think you can really fault that move as a move that is going in the wrong direction. And then they re-sign Brook Lopez to a 2-year contract that they ended up paying him way more than they probably wanted to. Middleton re-signs. So you have everybody back. I think Drew Holiday is – his contract is up. I think this might be his last year on the contract. I think he becomes extension eligible like in September or October. But they basically brought back everybody that you want to bring back. They spent money. And so it seems like the team should theoretically be set up for at least another year or two of being pretty good. But of course, this core around Giannis is old. And I guess if he were to sign that extension, he has 2 years left. So maybe he plays out those 2 years. At that point, Lopez is 38 years old. You're probably not going to resign him. Middleton with his injury history, who knows where he's at. Drew Holiday could leave at the end of the season as a free agent.
Okay. Hey, Mike.
The team looks completely different. What?
Yeah, so Adrian Griffin, okay, so obviously he played in the NBA, right?
Yep.
And he played. Do you know how many teams he played for in the NBA, Mike?
Played a lot of teams. I know he was a journeyman guy. I mean, I know he was around. He was a left-handed guy. Yeah. And kind of
he played for seven teams, and he played like – he started on some team called the Long Island Surf. His first year – played for the Long Island Surf, then he played for the Connecticut Pride, then the Atlantic City Seagulls, Rosetto, which I got to imagine is a like overseas team. Then he went back to Connecticut, played for the Connecticut Pride and the Atlantic City Seagulls. So he's played 4 years of non-NBA basketball before playing in the NBA. And he played for Celtics, Mavericks, Rockets, Bulls, Mavericks again, the Bulls again. And he ended his career. The last year of his career was the last year Seattle was in Seattle. 2008, I think, right? It was the last year? The last year Seattle Supersonics were in Seattle?
Yes, because that was Durant. Durant played 1 year in Seattle.
Yeah.
Durant played his rookie year.
Adrian Griffin was the bad luck charm that makes Seattle move to – no, I'm just kidding. Joking.
There you go.
But there you go. Who knows? I mean, he's been an assistant in the NBA since he retired, basically, in 2010. So – You think he knows his stuff, but I mean you can't like that now. That guy's got to be walking on eggshells the whole time because of this whole Giannis situation, right? I mean,
it just depends. Again, you don't know what his relationship is like with Giannis. You don't know if he's going to be a good coach or not be a good coach. I just think that it's a risk, right? It's a risk. I mean, Bud, you know what his shortcomings were. But he did win an NBA championship. And when you get rid of a guy who has the resume that Budenholzer has to bring in a guy who's unproven, you can see where that could – and we don't know what Giannis's relationship was with Budenholzer and how good it was or how bad it was or what Giannis thought of him as a coach. I don't think there's really never been anything said along those lines. So it's hard to really know what – he thought about that move. But I think, again, overall, if you look at what the Bucks did this offseason, I don't think you could possibly say, hey, the Bucks screwed things up by doing what they did. I mean, they brought back a team that, for all intents and purposes, going into the playoffs was, if not the favorite, certainly one of the two or three favorites to win the NBA title. And then Giannis gets hurt and the team kind of implodes around him and they just succumb to Miami getting super hot and Jimmy Butler having an unbelievable series and things just don't go their way. Who knows? I mean, I guess you look at Milwaukee's history over the last 5 or 6 years, they've been title contenders since like 2018 or 2019. It's been a long time. And you remember the 1 year they were up 2-0 on the Raptors and then lost 4 in a row. I think that was in the Eastern Conference Finals, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 2019. And then they had a couple other years. 1 year they lost to Miami in the playoffs. Then they come back and they get the title year. And then last year, obviously, they go out in the first round. The year before, they lose to Milwaukee or lose to Boston when Middleton's out. Giannis has that incredible 7-game series. And so, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows what he's going to do? I think that clearly to this point, as you said, people have kind of celebrated the fact that he's stayed in Milwaukee and stayed in that small market and called it home. But at some point, especially in the way that the league is run today, guys are going to chase titles. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Guys aren't as locked in year after year after year, especially, look, team building is hard. And you need guys that are kind of on the same age trajectory. And then you need those guys to all stay healthy. And you need all their contracts to kind of line up correctly so that you can pay everybody. It's not too often that you see teams and players stay together for huge, long lengths of time. Like you think about the Warriors and how long those three guys have been together. And why does that happen in one place and not another? Part of it is just, again, how do those guys line up age-wise? And then is there a clear cut, like, okay, Steph's the best guy, and then we slot in Clay and Draymond, and where do we pay him and all those things? So team building is hard, right? I mean, so if you're Milwaukee, you can look at him and say, hey, we tried to do everything we possibly could to put you in a best position to win a championship this season. And I don't think Giannis could have much of an argument with that. But at the same time, he could say, 2 years from now, this team could be completely decimated and there could be nothing left because all these guys either aged out or there's no reason to pay them anymore at the salary levels that they are. And then how do you replace those guys with players who are ready to compete when Giannis is 31 years old? I mean, it's a fine line to walk. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I honestly don't think Giannis has his mind made up. I really think this is just a play to say, hey guys, I'm interested. Other organizations, I am interested, depending on how the season goes and the end. I mean,
and it puts some pressure on Milwaukee too.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Because what happens if they don't have a great season? Like what happens if they make the playoffs and they don't make the finals? Like Milwaukee knows this might be the end of the road. There's no, like, I don't think Giannis will force a trade. I don't think he'll do a Dame situation or attempt to force a trade. But I could totally see him saying, I'm not signing. I'm going to go somewhere else after this year. And then really kind of forcing Milwaukee's hand a little bit to try and get something. I don't know. But I don't think he'll say, you have to trade me. I don't envision Giannis doing that. I don't know. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to say that after this season, where again, I guess if at the end of the season, Jrue Holiday leaves and Brooke Lopez maybe doesn't have as good a season as everybody expects, or maybe he gets injured, then all of a sudden Giannis looks around at the end of the season, is like, man, do I want to waste a year playing with this roster? Then maybe he says, hey, you might as well trade me now because I'm going to leave. I could maybe see that, but I think it's probably just as likely that he leaves in free agency. But we haven't really had a major guy go to free agency in a few years just because of this whole way it's so easy for players to just say, hey, trade me. And then you get some say in where you go. And I don't know. It seems like if you're a player, it might be easier to go somewhere with free agency. My dog agrees. You go somewhere with free agency and then the team doesn't have to give up any assets to trade for you. So look, like I said earlier, team building is hard. And even being a player and deciding where you're going to go and what team you're going to play for is difficult. So it remains to be seen what ends up happening. But Milwaukee should still be a favorite this year going into the season as far as true title contenders. Milwaukee's still got to be in that group.
Okay. I agree. 100%. All right, anything else, Mike?
I got a quiz for you. I got one last thing.
All right.
I'm going to read you some quotes, and you're going to tell me who these quotes can be attributed to. They're all attributed to one player. Ready?
Sure, go for it.
I'm excited because I know I can do it. That's the exciting part for me. I'm like, yo, let's get back in the gym. I'm excited. I get to do something I love to do at a high level. Regardless of what people say, I'm a 3-time All-Star, All-NBA player, all defensive team. I've done things. I'm not somebody that hasn't done anything. But at the end of the day, that's what you want to do. You want to go out and compete against the best in the world and be one of the best. And there's one more. This player has the goal of returning to dominate people next season. Who am I talking about?
Well, it can't be James Harden because he's not been been on the all defensive team.
It is not James Harden.
Is it an old teammate of James Harden?
No, this player is related to James Harden. They are connected in a way, but they have not been teammates.
Not Ben Simmons. No.
Ben Simmons, baby. Ben Simmons.
Okay. Well, I thought when you said I was going to read quotes, I thought it was either going to be Harden or Westbrook. That's where I was thinking you were going. But that's good. That's good.
All right. So here's the opening paragraph from this article. If anybody wants to check it out, I'm reading it on the website Andscape, written by Mark J. Spears. Here's the opening paragraph from the article. While seeing will be believing for a long skeptical NBA community, Brooklyn Nets forward Ben Simmons appears to have his all-star swagger back mentally and believes his battered body will be rejuvenated for a comeback chapter next season now that he feels the best he has in 2 years. So come on, Ben Simmons.
Give me a break.
No, you're not buying it?
Okay, here we go, Mike. Who's playing more games this season? Ben Simmons or Zion Williamson?
Simmons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Simmons.
Okay.
I think both guys are going to be relative. I mean, look, Simmons should be relatively healthy. I mean,
he hasn't played in 2 years, right?
Right.
A year and a half.
Whatever. I don't know. I guess he's had the back issues, which are always dicey whether or not you can come back, but I don't see why he doesn't play. And he's 25 years old. Zion's 23 now, maybe 22, something like that.
Yeah. All right. We'll see.
Zion's still getting to his 250.
Okay. But keep it up.
How many games has Simmons played?
Oh, he's played a lot.
Let's throw a number on Simmons. Let's put it this way. All I will tell you is that Ben Simmons' next contract, if he doesn't live up to the quotes that we just read, if he doesn't live up to those quotes,
Ben Simmons is 27, Mike.
Yeah. Simmons' next contract is going to look a lot different.
How many games do you think Simmons has played, Mike?
How many? What's he, 27?
Yeah.
So he came into the league at 19. So he's played, I guess last year he didn't hardly play at all, but early in his career,
He played 42 games last year, Mike. He played 42 games.
Oh, did he? Okay. I guess at the beginning of the season. So let's say he's easily averaged 60 games a season. So he's probably played, I'm going to guess he's played 400. I'm going to guess he's played around 400 games.
Less than
400?
317.
Wow. Okay. And how many seasons
did he play? Wasn't there a year he was like out though the whole year? You got to count.
He sat out his rookie year.
Yeah.
He sat out his rookie year. So he played, I guess, but
you're right. But you're accurate though, because his first year he played 81 games. The second year he played 79. Then he played 57, 58, and 42. So in his 5 years that he's played, and you got to remember the 57 games played was in COVID year. So
right.
So all of his years that he's played, you know, played a game, he's played at least, 42 last year. But I mean,
that's still really, when you think about it, it's not really very many games. I mean, that's not even four full 82 game seasons, which is kind of crazy. Cause again, you think about players in the past who guys basically played night in and night out. They almost played every game. And now you have guys that we're talking about. Here's Ben Simmons. We're thinking, well, he's relatively at the early part of his career, he's relatively durable. And yet he's been in the league for whatever, 8 years, and he's barely played four. He hasn't played four full 82 game seasons.
Yep.
Which is kind of crazy when you really think about it.
All right.
Anyway, I'm not betting. I'm not betting on Ben Simmons, as neither is my dog. So anyway,
all right.
I say we leave it there. We will next week Browns talk. Well, no, we still have one more week after this for Browns talk, right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll make predictions.
Who's our kicker? Don Cockcroft?
Dustin Hopkins, Mike.
Who?
Dustin Hopkins.
Didn't he come from the
Not
Chargers?
Not Anthony Hopkins or Dustin Hoffman. It's Dustin Hopkins.
But didn't he come from the Chargers?
He did.
Haven't the Chargers like historically had like some of the worst like kicking and luck? Didn't they have like the guy who was didn't they have a guy like that like an Asian guy a couple years ago that was a kicker?
Younghwa Koo. And now he's placed for Atlanta.
Okay. Anyway, I feel like that like San Diego, they're always like snake bit. Like they lose games in the last minute. Like they lose 4 or 5 games in the last minute every year. So that doesn't seem like the kind of guy we'd want to bring in. Lou Groza?
He's a vet. He kicked for Washington for a while.
All right. Well, good.
When they were still the Redskins.
Jan Stenerud?
We'll see.
Garo Yepremian?
So next week on the episode, Mike, I think we talk about whatever FIBA is and we make a prediction for the Browns season. We put our records out there. So you think
all
about
right,
that.
Sounds good. We can do it.
Break down the numbers. That. And then maybe we'll break it. Down Ahsoka episode 4 since we didn't actually break down episode 3 because it happened in the original podcast. But
we're not breaking down that Orange Ladies episodes, man. Why is she orange, by the way?
It's her alien race. I don't remember what it is.
Okay. She's not a Skrull.
That's another Disney Plus show, Mike.
What?
Your dog says, go to bed.
Yeah. My dog wants us to end it. All right. Let's leave it there. I'm going to get the dog outside. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening.
My dog's getting excited at your dog barking right now. So
good. Perfect. Maybe they can talk to each other. They can do the podcast next week. All right. We'll see everyone next time, man. Appreciate
get
it.
Get more
All
viewers.
Right, thanks. Yeah. All right. We'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.